Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now from Hollywood, California, the horror capital of the world, the Boulé Brothers, Creatures of the Night.
Hello, uglies, and greetings to all of our listeners everywhere around the world. Welcome, my darlings, one and all, to the third season of the Boulé Brothers' Creatures of the Night. My name is Swan Thula, and joining me, as always, is my sister in crime, the dreaded Drakmorta. Drakmorta, darling, how are you?
I am fantastic, and I'm so excited to be back here on the podcast.
I know. I feel starved from the podcast.
Me too. I missed it.
Love it so
much. It's good, because you guys are really getting on my nerves towards the end of season two. So I had a little break, and now I actually miss you a little bit, at least for the first three episodes.
So we'll be sure to push our luck and push your buttons at every opportunity
we get.
As
right?
always, darling.
Okay, so before we get started, I do want to say to fans, I know that at the end of season two, we promised them that when we came back, we would be doing the video version of the podcast. And we are going to be doing the video version of the podcast, just not right away. It might be more like episode three or four, because as you know, a lot of exciting developments have happened since we wrapped season two.
A lot of exciting developments.
Yes. And so we just need to give it a little bit of time before we get the video version of the podcast together. And we have some exciting guests that we want to bring on for the first episodes of that, so stay tuned. It is coming.
Yeah, and so to dive into that deeply, let's talk about the big news that got announced not long ago about the multi-season deal at AMC and Shudder.
It was very exciting that that came out. For those of you that at home that did not see it, the Variety magazine article came out talking about a three-season deal that we just signed with AMC and Shudder. We're very excited. One of those projects is already filmed, actually. We'll be debuting soon on screens everywhere on October 25th.
That's right. Which is, Drac, do the honors.
The Boulé Brothers Dracula Titan.
Cue the screaming throngs of fans worldwide. Yeah. And before we go any further, I want to just say this deal means so much to us as a production company because it means our hard work is paying off. And it also means that the waking world will be blessed with a lot more content from Boulé Brothers world.
Absolutely. I'm excited because it gives us the opportunity to really flush out our cinematic universe.
Yes.
And to me, that's just something I've wanted to do for a long time. I know both of us have, because I feel like we bring these stars on the show. We bring people on the show who audiences don't know anything about. They're, you know, kind of obscure local drag artists.
Yeah.
And then we blow them up. We expose them to all these people all over the globe. They get a fan base. And then the season's done and you never see them again. And I don't like that.
Yeah, like, that's the format for so many other programs, whether it be like competition shows or reality shows. It's almost like disposable stars.
Right.
And we invest in them. We pull them out of obscurity, give them a platform to shine on, and they do. Season after season after season, the huge majority of the cast just show why they're amazing artists and why they're like these magnetic characters. So we want to find ways to continue to use them.
I think people will look at our show and compare it to other competition shows where they sort of bring in the cast and you don't see the cast again. I'm like, don't think of us like that. Think of us more like The Real Housewives or even like 90 Day Fiancé, right? You're never going to get rid of these monsters. on your screen. We make you fall in love or hate with them, and you're never going to get rid of
them. They'll haunt you forever.
But that's kind of an experiment, right? Like, for us, I think that's something we've wanted to explore and do, and we have some things we want to get across. There's some storylines, and I don't know, there's just people I feel like that need more exposure or that have a lot more story to tell. And I think, like, when we developed Resurrection, that was our first way of doing that. It was format outside of our regular format, and it gave us the opportunity to really showcase people that had more personality that you didn't see on the main season.
Yeah, and like given the circumstances too, the timings, we had had a few seasons of the show already, but also the pandemic, which threw a curveball.
Right.
You know, we kind of took that on by the horns. Like we grabbed that bull right by the horns and said, how can we bend and twist and manipulate the format to deliver something really entertaining, but also put that shine on some of these stars that we've seen before. So that was what we came up with during the pandemic. But now Blay Brothers Dragula Titans is a little different. These are the best of the best. These are the Titans from each of the four seasons of the show come together to battle it out, sort of like the biggest and baddest competition of drag, filth, horror, and glamour.
Yeah. And I think we'll get into like the casting of that later, because the next episode of Creatures of the Night, the one after this, is going to be completely focused on the Blay Brothers Dragula Titans. So we're going to answer all of your questions about the new series, about the new format, how we decided on the people that we cast and all that. So that's coming next episode.
Ooh, and it's going to be so good.
It's going to be juicy, because who has more tea than us, right? There's always all these like weird fraudulent websites that are like, we have the tea, honey, on this. I'm like, you don't have nothing on anything, okay? You don't have anything
and they're
on
out
nothing.
There. God, they're I out know. There too, everywhere. Honestly, sometimes it's
fraud.
Scary how accurate they flop fraud.
Flop dud website.
I do want to say this though, and this is scalding tea that I don't think I've seen on any of those flop dud fraudulent websites, is the premiere episode of the Blay Brothers Dragula Titans is going to be served supersized. So you can plan for get double the trouble when the season premiere comes out.
Yeah, double sized episode. I feel like we had to do that, right? Because some of these stars we have not seen for years.
And years. And the show has made huge leaps and bounds from their seasons and the time where they spent with us on their season of Dragula.
Yeah, so we had to take time to catch the audience up with who they are, what they've been up to for the last few years since they were on the show. And that took a lot of time. Not to mention, once we put them all in the kettle together, it was quite an explosive combination that took a lot of time to film.
A delicious concoction.
Oh. Did you think they would get along or not?
Look, the years of doing this have taught me a few things. Just like audience members, where some people will be pissed about things we decide, while other people will be so excited about everything that we do. It's the same thing with the competitors. Some of them you put together and it's like this weird chemistry and alchemy and harmony that you would never suspect. Like, oh, look at this.
An alliance.
Oh, all the alliances that form. Yes, it's an alliance. Ooh, it's an alliance.
I heard alliance so many times filming the show. Anyway.
More than we needed to. But then there are other combos that are just combustible.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I am so thrilled. I am very happy with the final product, and I can't wait for everybody at home to see it. I've been wanting to feature people from previous seasons forever. Like a full series format. Finally, we are here, and it's going to be great. And again, we did announce a multi-project deal. So we have a lot of things in the works with other stars too, as well as some scripted things. There's just a lot coming down the pipeline that'd be very fun for people
yes.
to see.
And look, all of this was kind of like interjected right in between the season 4 world tour, which we've completed a good 2/3 to 3/4 of, but we kind of had to take a break here in the middle to thrust ourselves into production, produce this spinoff season, which is going to be coming down the pipeline very soon. But it's just been announced that the Australian and New Zealand legs of the Blay Brothers Dragula season 4 world tour are going to be postponed for that reason. There's been a lot of filming projects, there's been a lot of obligatory appearances, and it just sort of like we didn't want to stick that right in the middle of the tour. So those dates will be coming after the new year.
Yeah, so we just had to move that back a little bit to accommodate all these new projects, and it's going to be fun. But I think too, when we do go there, who knows, maybe we'll be able to pepper in a little bit of season 4, a little bit of Titans.
Ooh, a little Titan spice.
Yeah, I think so. Spice it up a little bit.
And you know, of course, we're entering the spookiest season of them all, and our annual Halloween ball is also coming in to focus.
That is very exciting, because this is absolutely going to be the biggest Halloween ball we've ever thrown.
Very much.
Twice as big, in fact.
More details will be coming out about the Blay Brothers Dragula Titans season, and as well as the Blay Brothers Halloween ball. But like the premiere, we can promise that the Halloween ball is going to be served up supersized and like double the power.
So good.
So
okay,
good.
So before we move on to other sections, we have been MIA for a little while, and lots of horror content has come out. A lot of TV shows, movies, specials, things. I thought we could just like quickly talk about a few things that we watched that we really enjoyed.
Yeah.
Since our break, what do you want to start with?
Let's talk about what we saw just last week, and it's not going to be reviewed this episode, but maybe we'll talk about it on a future episode, because I loved it, which is A24's Bodies, Bodies, Bodies.
It was great.
It was awesome.
I'm so glad that we're talking about it because I would have loved to review it in a full review here on the podcast. But if you have not seen Bodies, 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 you have to go see it. It was incredible.
So listen, at first glance, I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, oh, this is going to be so dumb and definitely not for me. But 10, 15 minutes in, I was like, okay, wait a minute. Okay, what? Oh. And then it became like super smart, very self-aware, super current, fun, scary, violent. Like it was just really good.
I think the ending was so brilliant. But aside from that, I haven't laughed that hard at a movie in a long time. And it's not it's a dark comedy horror, but still I was like laughing the entire time.
And the whole theater was like a lot of people, like the jokes were landing and everybody was enjoying it. And also screaming like in chorus too, because there's a lot of scares in there too.
It's so very right now, you know what I mean? Like, I swear, I feel like in a couple years, we're going to look back on this time period and be like, what was wrong with everybody? And this movie touches on a lot of that.
It truly does.
Yeah. So what else?
That was outside of the theater, but inside our home theater, we were looking at Netflix and what it had to offer, and we came across Sandwoman. With that teased little black Susie updo. I want to call her Sandwoman, but I'm really talking about Sandman and the series that came out and how closely it followed the graphic novel and how I think true it really stayed with Neil Gaiman. Vision.
Absolutely. It's the first piece of content I've seen that, in my opinion, was like the graphic novel come to life. So I actually bought those comics when they came out episodically before they were ever even compiled into a graphic novel. And I was shocked at how closely, I mean, the logo, the looks, everything is just so close to it. And
you were gagged even like the first couple of episodes. You're like, this is almost scene for scene. Like you could see the panels in your mind as they came across the screen.
And I love what they did. They recast or sort of redesigned the look of some of the characters. It's a lot more diverse than I think the comic book was.
In a great way.
In a way that's completely acceptable and you're like, yes, this is natural.
Yeah.
If you used to read the comic or if you ever read it, but these entities, the Endless, they sort of are these things that represent human nature, right? So it's like dream or destruction or whatever. The way that we see them on the page, this gothic crow looking guy, is not the way that everybody sees them. Because when Dream visits other cultures in the comic, he appears to them like they look, you know, not like what we see him as. So
right.
I thought it was kind of interesting that they picked a more diverse cast to represent the icons.
Yes, and even the main characters, like there was a huge diversity, like gender diversity, like racial diversity, and it wasn't like virtue signaling. It just seem a very natural part of the story, understated. It just, this is the way it is. The world is a dynamic, diverse, interesting place, and so is the world of Sandman. And it wasn't, hey, everybody, look, I'm being this, look at our diverse show, which I really respect because I feel like that's the way to do it.
No one
wants anything shoved down their throat. And if we really want to play well with others and give them our messages, we need to put them into sentences that they are going to receive. And I think Neil Gaiman's choices and the casting choices were great. And I think the messages were received.
Overall, I would recommend the first half of Sandwoman.
Yes.
I was not thrilled with the second half of it.
I want to give her a little nip tuck facelift and keep the beginning, nip and tuck the middle, because the end was also really cool.
I don't know. I definitely fell off. I felt like the story started to get weird around Vortex? Is that what the character was?
Yeah.
I thought that's the part I'm talking about. Grandma Unity. And I'm like, no.
Just never mind.
It's not.
The last film I think we'll mention now is because we're 90% of the way through it, but just didn't finish.
Are you going to talk about Orpan?
Orpan. Because now that Orpan's first kill is out, we want to know what Orpan was up to back in the day.
Yes, I never watched Orphan when it first came out, and it's dumb. Yeah. But I don't know why I'm obsessed at the moment. I know I'm going to be over it in like 2 days, but
same.
I want to watch Orphan. I want to watch Orphan 2, whatever.
Electric
it is.
Boogaloo.
A lot of people love Orphan, and I'm like, yeah. It ain't good, but I'm into it. It's fine.
Especially our friend Karen, who is not a Karen. She is what she just happens to be named Karen. She's one of our oldest friends. We've known her forever, and she's an artist, and she's kind of goth at heart, and she loves
gothic
horror.
She's an Asian artist.
Yes.
And she's like, why am I Karen?
She's like, you've ruined my fucking name. I can't believe it's Karen.
Right. She won't tell people what her name is anymore.
She goes to Starbucks and gives a different name because she refuses to be called Karen.
We're not getting into this.
Let's not go there. All right. Well, now that we've caught everyone up on what we've been up to, we are going to take a quick break. And when we return, we'll be joined by our junior co-host, the one and only Ms. Ian DeVogler, for Hollywood and Horror News and this episode's Creature Feature Movie Review. Don't move. Welcome back, my darlings, and welcome to the show, Ms. Ian DeVogler.
Ooh, it's so good to be back. Ooh, I just gotta stretch these muscles. Oh, hello, ladies.
So dumb. Welcome back.
Oh my gosh. I have to say, even though I am a little bit saddened that we're not doing the video version yet, it has allowed me to not get my hair cut, so still feeling slovenly. But I can also cast the spell that we are in our, as I saw on Twitter, a dual coffin chair with a little sidecar in it, outfitted with mics. I'm like, that is the actual tea. Everyone get ready. That's how we record.
Are you going to unveil your new middle parted 90s haircut for the podcast when it goes video?
I think when we go video, I need to fully unveil my Zoomer identity with my JNCO jeans, my middle parted hair, and my highlight for the goal.
But I think we should also put you in a little white like tank top, and we're going to do that like, you know, those little ball, metal ball chains
the silver
hook onto your like drain in the sink. We're going to make you a necklace out of that.
Okay. It's coming, Diva. Just wait.
With a pacifier.
I was going to say, wait, do I go my full like 90s raver fantasy with my pacifier?
I think
I live for it. And I'm also going to steal one of Durla's like dog chains to wear because I want to feel cute.
But
no.
But don't, and I repeat, capital D-O-N-T, don't bring out those Demonia 7-inch stacks with the patchwork on it because you'll get canceled by us immediately.
Yeah.
If only.
Well, all right. As always, Ian is here to catch our listeners up on all the latest news from the worlds of Hollywood and horror. So, Ian, please do us the honors.
If everything you read on the internet is to be believed, then I truly feel like Creatures of the Night listeners have been shivering with anticipation for long enough. So without further ado, as always, it is my pleasure to serve as your humble messenger, your perverted purveyor of all things terrifying and titillating from the intersection of Hollywood and horror. Let's dive right into this episode's current events. From Hollywood's horror future here in the studio to the startling terror of Hollywood's horror past, Steven Spielberg's monster horror classic Jaws was re-released in theaters over the Labor Day weekend, bringing the all-time classic back to the box office charts some 50 years later with $3.3 million across the weekend. I thought this was really cute. We're seeing a ton of re-releases, we're seeing remakes, reboots, and I figured this would spark a little bit of a conversation. Do y'all want to go see Jaws, or are we going to go see Bodies, Bodies, Bodies?
We're going to go see Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. Yeah. I've seen Jaws a million times, and I think it's time to move on.
But what's her name? What's her name? I'm spacing it now. Is his last name
Richard Dreyfuss?
Yeah, Richard Dreyfuss. Okay, we were at the Atlanta Horror Convention last year. The Days of the Dead. And there we were. The night before, we had literally heard people get shot in the club next door. Atlanta is a crazy place. However, on the convention floor there, who comes in our line to get a photo with the Boulay brothers?
Ms. Dreyfuss herself.
Ms. Richard, of
he
Jaws
was so
fame.
Nice. Yeah, he waited in line to take a picture with us. And that was a great boost because that was after we got read by Kathleen Turner.
What a legendary convention experience.
Well,
I guess we didn't get read by her. She sort of redirected her assistant.
Her assistant thoroughly.
We came over to their table. Her assistant stood up and just yanked my wig.
I couldn't believe it. We talked about this on the podcast before.
We did.
She was like, come over and take a picture with me.
Yeah.
And so we're like, okay, we'll leave our booth and go over to Kathleen Turner's booth. And we did. And then when we walked up, we're like, okay, do you want to do that picture?
We're like, hi,
and
Kathleen.
And she pointed to her assistant.
Her like wax figure assistant.
Who then steps in front and is like, that's $50. And I was like, you tricked me.
I'm like, Mama Diva.
I'm like, you're a hustler.
I'm like, girl, I only have $50 to spend when I go see Jaws and Bodies, Bodies, Bodies this weekend.
You know what? Good for her.
Good for her. She is a hustler.
I'm going to do that to someone at the next drag convention we go to.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm going to be like, Drag Race Canada, whoever person you are, come and take a picture with us.
You're going to point at our wax figure, and Ian's going to point to them and say $50.
Speaking of Ms. Dreyfuss, did you see what she tweeted about with the movie after okay, so she tweets, when they asked me to do Jaws, I said no. I said I wanted to watch it but not shoot it. And apparently she spent like one day on set and was like, sorry, let me back that up into reverse, like Steven Spielberg's a genius. But apparently she didn't want to be a part of it.
Oh wow.
It happens, you know?
I mean, good for her, I guess.
And look at this, 50 years later, she's still selling $3 million
in
tickets.
Look, Jaws is an incredible movie, you know? I think for me, I am done with the revisiting the past. Can we get some new ideas that stick, please, and go forward? And you know what I mean? Like, appreciate the classics, but let's stop having to go back to them. Like, Halloween, Chainsaw Massacre, everything's, like, redone, retouched, reproduced, and kind of over it.
Well, speaking of retouched, redone, and refrozen and re-chilled.
Yes.
As of this recording, Netflix has just released their full Netflix and Chills lineup for the year, and although Tim Burton's take on the Addams Family's premier creepy kid Wednesday is still set for the fall 2022 premiere, it seems like we may not be getting our first look at the series in time for Halloween.
Oh.
I know. I mean, wow. I'm super excited to see Jenna Ortega in the role.
Oh, me too.
I don't know about y'all. My expectations are very low.
I love Jenna Ortega, and I think her being cast in this is brilliant.
Yeah.
And of course, having Tim Burton attached to it is also brilliant. Why does it not feel like it's going to be good?
I think we're going to be pleasantly surprised.
Really?
I really do. I think he...
What did
you say? I'm going to say the opposite for sure. No, but it's the truth. Because you know what it was? It was that teaser with the piranhas in the pool. I mean, that is that like just strikes the chord of misfits coming from the world and loving horror. It's like the underdogs destroying the popular kids. It's no one hurts my brother but me. And
okay,
that's what I love about
it. I am totally with you on that scene specifically, like where she lets the piranhas go. I'm like, oh my God, so Addams Family values. This is exactly what I want. But then we take platform 9/11 3/4, whatever the hell it is, and we go directly to witch school. And I'm like, wait a minute.
School.
Yeah. For me, the most fun about the Addams Family series, kind of in all its iterations, is watching the Addams Family interact with Debbie or interact with like regular characters.
Right. The mundane world.
Right. So having Wednesday go to witch school with witch powers, I'm like, so everybody Wednesday?
So what do y'all think of Catherine Zeta-Jones as Morticia?
I've only seen like one little still. I don't even remember anything from the teaser other than the piranha scene.
Yeah.
So to me, it's to be continued. I don't know yet.
Yeah, I think we've seen maybe one promotional image. And then also there's one shot from the teaser where Luis Guzman, who is playing Gomez, and Catherine Zeta-Jones are in the back of, I guess, a hearse or a limo.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they look good. Not the most exciting casting. I mean, sorry, Catherine. No one will ever come close to Angelica Houston as Morticia. I'm sorry.
I always wanted Catherine Zeta-Jones to like play Wonder Woman back in the day.
Oh.
Yeah, she has like a really strong presence to her. And I think I love her in movies. I just don't know if I'm going to like her in this role. We shall see. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And finally, taking the long flight from Hollywood to Eastern Europe, archaeologists in northern Poland have found a grave from the 18th century containing a female vampire buried with a sickle over her neck. An anthropological study revealed that she had protruding front teeth, suggesting that her appearance may have led to superstitious locals in the 17th century to brand her as a witch or a vampire.
Could you imagine going through your life with an overbite and then having them murder you for being
for
a vampire?
It.
Yeah.
I mean,
and burying you with a sickle around your throat.
People think kids were mean today.
Exactly.
Okay, listen.
So cruel.
True tea, because people sometimes ask, like, well, Ian, like, how did you start working for the Blay Brothers? And I had a wicked crossbite when I was a kid. Like, mama, fangs out here, like, underbite, overbite, all over. Murdered, sickle over the neck. And the Blays were like, we can do something with this. We'll bring her back.
Well, I thought when they found her, right? Can you imagine that's you, right? You're that skeleton and you've been there for however many hundreds of years. And you know what I mean? If someone finds you and you're just like, I told you I wasn't a vampire. After all this time, you've been trapped there with a sickle over your neck for like hundreds of years.
I mean, that is truly like an existential cosmic nightmare to think that you would be alive somehow down there. Although I guess at that point, wouldn't you be like, bitch, I got you. I was a vampire the whole time. Get this padlock off my leg.
I saw the photo online somewhere and it was actually really compelling. Like this skeleton just laid out with the sickle still preserved, however they did it. And
so
just kind of like hovering over the throat. And I think the idea was that if the vampire rose from the dead, it would shoot up and like, you know,
decapitate
himself.
I think it would have been amazing if they had found the body and it was, you know how sometimes things will get trapped in ice and it's like completely preserved?
Fully preserved.
That would have been terrifying. Because you would have never known. You'd be like, maybe she is actually active.
I mean, for me, I think about like, okay, well, how does this kind of fall into our world? And thinking about other archaeological things that have happened recently, they found some ancient tomb recently that was sealed, padlocked, inscriptions on the side, do not open. Why the hell do we insist on being like, Now hold on. She's padlocked to the ground. She has a sickle over her neck. Let's unearth her. I'm leave
typical.
Her
I mean,
alone.
All the Egyptian tombs said, don't disturb this, everything and all. We're like, yay, dig right in. You know, like every time we find anything, we stupidly open it up. But I always think about that with like disease or plagues
things
that
stuff.
Haven't been around. Like I wonder if, you know, anyone ever like unearth something that's like, we can't deal with it.
Yeah, well, I've heard this notion that as the world warms, you know, because global warming
right.
still may or may not be real, wink, wink, we could release like bacteria and other like contagions that have been just trapped in the ice for who knows how long.
Mm-hmm.
Scary stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the same thing with like Lake Mead. The water's like draining and they keep finding all these like murdered bodies there. Have you seen that?
Hot.
They're finding basically concrete buckets with shoes in them and things. Like, it's clearly...
Little known fact, that's actually how I wanted to kill Kendra Onyx in season too.
I was going to say, are we going to reveal that?
That's what Kendra Onyx's death scene was supposed to be, although it ended up becoming something really iconic, I think.
Oh, totally.
Oh my gosh, totally. You have won. A slow and painful death. Yes!
Oh my god, it was like one of my favorites.
Yeah, we wanted to put Kendra in concrete and throw her off the pier in Long Beach, but we didn't.
Hey, you never know.
Well, Ian, my darling, thank you for the updates. They were weird and wonderful as always.
All right, now it's time we move on to this episode's Creature Feature Movie Review. And the film we chose to review this episode is the new supernatural horror movie Barbarian, written and directed by Zach Cregger. The film is about a young woman who travels to Detroit and stays in an Airbnb for a job interview. She discovers the house is double booked and ends up crashing with an unexpected housemate, but she soon discovers that there's a lot more to fear than just an unexpected roommate.
Let's start off with a disclaimer. I want no fetters on this conversation. It's going to be spoilers galore.
Thank God you said that, because even reading the description, because I took the advice of many people online, go into this film blind, and truly backing up what Swan said, if you want to watch the movie, and you should, maybe skip this review until next time.
Mm-hmm.
But even reading the synopsis, I'm like, ooh, now that gives something away, because this movie is full of twists and turns, mama.
The craziest, wildest ride I've been on in a while, because I saw the trailer for this when Drac and I went to go see something else a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, yeah, yawn, like maybe I'll watch it home, maybe if there's nothing on, and you know, I don't know, someone forces me to watch it, because it just did not look good.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that the Airbnb was double booked, yes, it created a lot of tension, you know, like one's male, one's female, whatever, that dichotomy and the vulnerability of that on the streets of Detroit, because Detroit is an interesting place because half of it is deserted. It's just not for me. So when we sat down, you're like, we're going to see this thing, Barbarian. I'm like, okay. I also went in blind. And as soon as I saw the opening scene, which is the setup for the double booked Airbnb, I was like, wah, wah, this is going to suck. But I was dead wrong.
Well, so let's, okay. So we're going to go into a lot of different aspects of the movie, but let's just start with your general vibe. Did you like it? Let's start with
Swan. Me. 100% yes. I looked at Drac when the credits were rolling. I was like, this is actually one of my favorite movies I've seen in a while. Like, this is like one of my favorite surprise horror films kind of today, because I didn't know what to expect. And at the end of it, I was like, I screamed, I laughed, I didn't cry, but it was kind of amazing. I've never heard a theater kind of erupt with gasps and goops and like, I mean, half of them were Ian, because he was sitting right next to me, like being really loud, but the whole theater was like waves of like drama and like, like screams and like laughs. And it was so fun and stupid, but also scary and really thought provoking.
You.
Ooh, over to me. I also loved this movie. And I do also want to defend myself a little bit here. I think I'm
defend
actually.
Defend yourself from what?
From this like psychic assault.
I'm not assaulting you. It's just the truth.
Get ready, because I'm going to assault both of you, but go ahead.
Oh my God, Swan. We got to be sisters and snatched
I'm
over
ready.
Here. So I also think that it was fantastic. I also just want to say, to defend myself, I am very fun to see movies with. I don't think I'm ever like too crazy, but Mama Diva, I was gooped. There is one scare in the movie, and I'm going to move myself slightly away from the mic to do it, but something happens and I went, ooh,
really loudly in a silent theater, which I love, because, you know, Ian goes, ooh, and then you hear Swan, because it was funny.
We talked about after the movie, there is this promo that they keep showing where it's like, you know, the camera is facing the audience and they keep flashing to this one person. It's like that consistently this person is giving the best reactions. And I was like, girl, if they had filmed in our theater, that camera would have been on me the whole
time.
It
would have been you.
I was gooped. I was gagged. But to be serious and put on my analytical horror hat for a second, I thought the movie is fantastic. I think that it is a real mind bender. I could not tell where it was going. For the first 30 minutes, I thought it was one thing. And then the reveal happens and I was gagged. It's gross. It's hilarious. And as listeners of the podcast may know, but for those of you who don't know, going to season 3, horror comedy is not always my thing, but I think I may be becoming a horror comedy fan. I loved it.
Not convinced that they believe it was a that they intended it to be a horror comedy.
Wait a minute, what are you talking about?
Wow, no, they definitely did. Especially the characterization of that like Hollywood agent, which was so relatable.
I thought they were just trying to make him hateable. Have you ever watched a movie?
Check.
Have you ever watched a film like in the theater and people react a certain way, but then when you go home and watch it, it doesn't come off the same way?
I almost feel like
maybe a little bit of that was happening because we were watching it with a very Hollywood crowd. It was very like, you know,
it was
movie
like a full theater
people.
On a Wednesday night.
That was the surprising thing, though.
It was a sneak peek, so I think it was all Hollywood people. They were in on the joke of that character. But anyways, backing up, so I get your both
so
opinions.
Your thoughts,
so you
Jack.
Both said, the first thing you started with was how you reacted to it. So let me tell you my experience sitting on the end beside of both of you.
Yes.
Okay.
Usually when I go to the movies with Swan, as listeners of the podcast know, she scares the hell out of me jumping and twisting and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Well, now she's got a friend. Ian was there, and Ian is going off, and the two of them together. But the cutest thing was, okay, we're sitting there. Swan has like her little junior mint snack, and she's not giving it up, right? She's not offering anybody any. And then Ian starts freaking out like her, and I see her offer them over. Do you want one? I'm like, oh my God, you have a cute little friend to freak out at the movies with now.
You know why? Because my positioning was perfect because Drax to my right, I'm in the middle, and I kind of freak out. But Ian is to my left, and Ian starts freaking out, and I literally thought to myself, he's worse than me.
The psychic assault.
It's fun. I mean,
it's really fun.
And it wasn't like we were at the draft house and people were being silent. Like everyone in the theater was reacting.
Yeah.
So. But as far as what I thought of it, I thought it was very entertaining. I also didn't know where it was going. It was surprising in that way, in a way that few movies can do. Like, usually you can kind of see with horror movies, you're like, I know where this is going.
Yeah.
But you definitely had no idea where this was going. I do think it had some flaws, but we can talk about that next. All right, so we know that this girl goes, gets an Airbnb, there's a guest there, whatever, okay? Basically, she discovers there's an underground tunnel. She goes down in there. The other guy goes down in there. You think that maybe the other guy's tricking her to go down there and he's the villain. And then out of nowhere comes basically Victoria Black in her rich look.
But on ogre steroids.
HGH and steroids. And she comes flying out. Kills the guy.
Like,
and then
bashes his head against the wall over and over.
I mean, like a 20-second death scene. I was like, oh my God, this is gratuitous.
Gruesome. And then it cuts.
But it instantly picks up
a completely different story.
It turns from a kind of like super high octane, intense tension thriller into like, oh my God, I don't know what's going to happen. Instantly to a horrific monster movie with grisly death.
Yeah.
And like the theater ripples with energy. Like that was such a cool moment.
So let's talk about this monster.
Let's do it.
What did you guys think of this monster in this monster movie?
Okay, so just to kind of sum it up, this monster is the result of years of inbreeding from a family of serial killers that live under the streets of Detroit since like the 80s. Okay, so in many ways, I think Barbarian was kind of like a love letter to like urban myth and urban legend, right? Because it tapped into so many veins in that body. But when they're down there and you finally see like this grisly, crazy ogress woman, it turned into something like really scary, really weird. And then the way that they jerk to the California sun in the scene completely changes with new characters. I felt like this movie really just kept me off center, off balance, super vulnerable. And it was just wild.
But what about the monster?
The monster was fucking awesome.
Yeah. That's what I want to talk about the monster here, because this is an unusual character.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, one of my favorite things about this monster is that the monster preys on sort of our fears of the granny hag from hell, almost.
Wait a minute.
Literally.
Is it another?
It is, but she's younger.
Well, she's younger, but I would also
say
that.
Is she younger?
Well, they say that she's been living down there for 40 years. But,
right.
Which
so,
I think that's maybe.
Wait a minute.
That's
wait,
a flaw
wait,
with the timeline.
That's the flaw we were talking about.
But really, real quick.
Yeah.
I do want to.
Yeah.
Let a woman finish her thoughts. Ian, go on.
Let this granny hag from hell.
You just made me. Go ahead.
I think that one of the big things that I loved about the monster of this movie is, like, we've seen and here in the podcast, we love so many granny hags from hell, that to see a big air quotes granny hag from hell who is not just olding around being old, it's like 8 feet tall, lightning fast, super strong, gnarly teeth, and breastfeeding. I was like, mama,
she's
I'm in
everything.
Hell. Okay, wait. So, I think we've discovered one of the flaws, which is that, as you say,
the
transient guy outside says, this woman's been down there for 40 years. Now, another person says, okay, well, this is generations of copies, right?
Copy of a copy that's created this monster.
I'm like, well, then wait a minute. If she's 40 years old and this started happening in the 80s, I'm like, that doesn't make sense. There's no way it could be that many generations.
Well, look, I think there's a flaw in trying to kind of imprint rationale on things that are just not meant to be taken rationally because there's so many workarounds. For example, when we do the flashback into the 80s and you realize that this house, you see it in its glory of Detroit before like the kind of environmental deterioration, it's really cute. But you see this serial killer guy who's kind of like the patriarch of what eventually will become this granny, mom hag from hell, ogress, nightmare. But you don't know that it hasn't already begun. Like, there could be women under there already being bred. And he, because that
I
guy's
thought about that,
that
too.
Guy's in his like 50s or 60s. Yeah. So we could have already been on generation like three or four by the time this nightmare gets
also,
spawned.
Also, the stairwell down does look rather ancient, right? Mm-hmm. So for all we know, maybe the house and neighborhood was built on the site of something that's been there for a long time.
He goes out into the regular world and he, you know, sees another victim, but he's buying diapers, he's buying plastic sheeting. And I almost took that to be the first generation of, you know, the children who are born in this underground area are being born. So maybe we're one generation deep. But then again, you know, when the neighbor is like, hey, like we're moving, we're not really keyed into how long have we been here. Right. I mean, maybe there are several generations. Like, oh my God.
Yeah. Well, and you know, kind of like the psychological curveball here is that this ogress is bred to only care about being a mother.
Mama. My baby.
You know, she's sitting in a room with like a VHS tape from 1982 about breastfeeding and baby care and how to take care of a baby. It's a literal like capture and prisoner kind of like nightmare for breeding.
I feel like it's
so crazy.
It's really scary.
Ian is partnered now because I think this is sort of like his love life at the bars before.
Oh, literally. Except for those of you who are like, wait, is Ian the victim? No, Diva. I am in my underground cavern. Mama. Mama. I'm bringing the bears home. I'm breastfeeding them. Mama, I got one on each shit. We suckling.
You know, I asked for it.
You did.
It was my one per episode.
It is kind of funny, I think, because of the social commentary with things like Airbnb and like Hollywood agents and like cancel culture and all of these things kind of get cued throughout the movie. The scary parts are definitely this underground labyrinth where this inbred beast, and there's more than she's not alone down there, you know.
But they never, you know, and that they say that. They're like, she's not the worst thing down there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I thought was interesting that I'm like, we never saw anything else, not even a hint of anything else.
Right. I wonder, though, if now, having seen the whole movie, if what is actually being alluded to is Daddy or the father character.
That's what
down
I thought,
there.
Too.
You know, are there more of them down there? Potentially.
That is the shit right there, because the ultimate culmination of this movie is once we are all the way in and you understand who's underground, how and why, you learn from the homeless population around that house that she never comes out at night and she would never break in here. And she comes
until
screaming Hawaiian punch through the wall, just like a joke from sixth grade. She rips off the guy's arm and beats him to death with that. At which point I'm like almost out of my chair screaming. Like,
That was your favorite moment.
Oh, it was so good. Well, no, it was just such a fun Apex moment.
I mean, y'all were legitimately cheering with your fists in the air like you're on a roller coaster.
Like, double fisting, like popcorn flying.
So good.
I do think it's interesting, though, like to talk about this movie, and I loved it. I think it was kind of triumphant, and almost like we had said on the finale of season two, what do we see horror going towards? I kind of feel like we sort of summoned this movie a little bit by saying we're going to see a little bit more horror comedy.
Yeah.
We're going to see some extreme shit, and we're just going to see the boundaries get pushed. Like, I think that this movie is actually very smart because it's, like you said, Swan, like there's a lot happening in here, and you know, it's got like Airbnb and cancel culture and all these things, but it's also a film very, very heavily situated in the topic around sexual assault and about incest and inbreeding and just the way that women are treated and the way that women are treated by even by the police, like their stories
or
not
by
being
other
listened
women.
To.
Yeah.
Right,
when you
too.
Look at the end, you know, the ending of the movie, which we're spoiling it all, you know, you think about it. They were sort of showing woman to woman and she was like, oh, you're giving me this motherly vibe.
You saved my life.
You could have almost see her say, I'm going to forgive you or I'm going to help you. And instead, she shoots her in the head.
Yeah, which I love. It almost brings me back to our review of X, which was, it's a movie that if you just want to look at it on the surface, it's just fucking fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's a fun horror movie. It's got scares. It's got thrills, chills, gore, splashing, and humor and all these things. But then when you really start to dig down, if you want to look below the surface, there's a lot of meat down there to really sink your teeth into.
So I think our prediction was right, because if you look at this, if you look at X, if you look at Bodies, 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 these
yeah.
are fun horror movies.
Yeah.
These are not
very
highbrow
true.
Horror movies.
Yeah, which is my second favorite like subgenre of horror, only to like horror fantasy.
The world needs it right now, right?
Yeah, we really need to laugh. We really need some entertainment that's horrible and horrifying, but like thrilling, exciting, and funny. And that's why the Belay Brothers Dracula Titans is going to
be a fucking
incredible hit.
Yes!
Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
I can't wait for bitches to see it.
I know. God, it's like, no spoilers here for that one, but y'all ain't ready.
God. But thinking about like someone ripping off a person's arm and beating them with it, it's so 80s. I never thought films would come back to that. And I think
so
I'm glad.
Me
That
too.
They did. Yeah.
So listen, if you want to catch Barbarian yourselves, it's still playing in theaters everywhere. And you should definitely give it a watch and let us know what you think. We're going to take another quick break, and when we return, we'll be answering all of the listener questions you sent in over the break. Stay tuned, Uglies.
All right, welcome back, everyone. It's time to answer some listener mail. So, Ian, if you would please do the honors.
Sean from New Zealand writes, my question for you all is, if you had to have a last supper, who would you invite? People can be from the past or present, and two people each from all three of you. Oh my God.
No, wait.
Very particular.
She's a bossy bottom on this one. I am not sure how Sean from New Zealand wanted us to answer this question, but I know how we're going to answer this question, because when I hear Last Supper, that means Dracula reunion to me.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So what two guests would each of us bring from any season if we had the choice?
It's a hard pass for me.
Jack's like, I'm not bringing any guests.
You're looking at the two right here.
No, okay, if you had to choose two. Okay, you can go.
Oh. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, how can we decide? Do we going to do a little rock, paper, scissors to see?
Everybody can do their own.
Like, but what if we have overlap?
Yeah, what if I
doesn't
want...
Doesn't matter, so what?
I don't
want
to have a diminutive list.
All right, Ian, why don't you go first?
Okay, so I'm feeling V inspired by the most recent Last Supper that I watched, which was from the Belay Brothers Dracula season one.
Oh.
And I feel like the two greatest guests at that table are also the most ridiculous. It is Foxy Ajoué and Loras.
Wow.
I truly love them. And it's just, Foxy is such a wealth of humor. Like, it's just, stay the fuck out of downtown Los Angeles.
It's so random.
It is so strange.
I'm like, where is that coming from?
Fueled by red wine.
Is that what it was?
I think so. I mean,
sometimes red wine is a doorway into an alternate personality. I know this from experience.
Oh, I can't do red wine, mama. So I would invite Foxy, Loras, and red wine.
Okay.
So I'm getting this picture. So the three of us are there. Mm-hmm. Foxy and Loras walk in, and we have a couple of bottles of red wine.
Okay.
So after Loras makes her way into the table, in walks my two guests, Monique Shame and Sigourney.
Yes.
Because I want to have some fun.
I love that you said both of those people because, hi, I love Monique and I also love Sigourney. But I almost said Sigourney because I was thinking, if I didn't have Loras and Foxy, which those would be my kind of my chaos picks, I think Sigourney would just be really fun to kiki with at the table.
She would be. Yeah. So yeah.
She would be fun, but she would also like adjust some wigs if she had to.
Oh yes. Yeah.
And she hasn't had the opportunity to do that yet.
And something tells me Monique's wig would have to be adjusted.
You want Sigourney to adjust Monique's non-wig?
Monique had to adjust her own wig because she couldn't even look up.
But if the wig is safety pinned to the mask, how does one adjust it?
You can't really redo it.
You can just twist her whole face off too. Wow. Sometimes that's what she deserves. All right, so Jack, who are your guests?
I think I'm going to go with my good time gals, Kendra Onyx and Frankie Doom.
Oh, that would be fun.
This is a party.
If you want to have fun, invite those two.
This is a party.
So I know this because when we did the premiere party for season 4, we ended up at a club afterwards, and I had quite a good time drinking with them, as I always do.
Wild.
Yeah, they're
so
fun.
So it would be the three of us with Foxy and Loris, Monique, Sigourney, Frankie, and Kendra.
Yeah.
That's wild.
I love it. Scott writes, I have a question for Ian. Oh, hello. Do you have a Boulay Brothers name? I'm obsessed with the sound of Swanthula and Drakmorda, and I'm just wondering if you have your own Boulay name. If not, girl, get on it. And what would it be? Well, I've been thinking a lot about this, and Drak suggested it should start with a V, and I would like to propose a Boulay name. I think that I would be Vulgaria Boulay.
Okay.
I like vulgar as kind of like a play on De Vogler.
Yeah.
But also I feel like I'm pretty much the vulgar member, or Perversia, maybe.
Perversia is pretty cool, but I always assumed you would not have a feminine sounding.
Right.
To
riff off of that, maybe just like a singular name, which really reminds me of a weird old Cheech and Chong movie, Vulgaire.
Oh, I'll definitely take that.
It makes me feel like you would have like a disgusting powers.
I mean, I feel
aristocratic in some way, though. I feel like it sounds stately.
I think that I would be like wearing like lots of like high necked collar, like very like Lucy, but then like mama underneath soars. Don't make mama angry.
Because
when you're upset, she's upset, and mama, I'm upset.
You're perverse, but not disgusting. There's a difference.
Soiled nether garments.
Ooh, actually, that's my Boulay name. Soiled nether garments.
Oh my God.
Soiled nether garments, Boulay.
Next question.
Tess from Salt Lake City writes, I was listening to your Halloween Haunts and Malicious Malignancies episode, and it got me thinking, do you ever travel to other cities in October just to experience the local haunt fauna?
We are usually so slam through the Halloween season, and we're flying all over the place. We go to tons of different cities at Halloween. We try to hit as many as possible. And anytime we have a few minutes left over, we absolutely sneak around and try to check out their local haunted houses and things like that. I think, was it last year, we spent some time in Salem during Halloween?
Yes.
That was great.
Because we've been to Boston several years now on Halloween night. We also went to Ann Arbor for Necto Nightclub one Halloween season, and we did a hayride farm thing. Don't ask me what that is. That's from Vulgaire's like nether garments. No, but we did that haunt around Necto in Michigan, which was kind of awesome because I think it was the beginning of the season. But we also did a tour of Detroit since we're talking about Barbarian.
Yes.
And we really got to see Detroit for the first time. I want to thank Tess for coining my new favorite kind of concept here, which is haunt fauna, because different haunts around the country are populated by very different types of creatures. So this is interesting.
I love Detroit, by the way. Like, it was fun to think to, you know, go there for the tour and to watch this movie about Detroit. I think it is so steeped in interesting history. And if anywhere on earth is haunted, or at least anywhere in the United States, it is there.
It really could be. I was trying to remember this and I just didn't have time to like look back through my phone. When we were there for the tour, we were invited by the locals to go to something that they only do around Halloween. And it was like a private party, and it was like masks only, and it was
some kind of hellfire party
or something. Mm-hmm. God, I wish I could remember, because it just sounded like something that would be right up our alley.
I agree.
Akiria from Ontario asks, in the past, you've talked extensively about how you're huge fans of A24's movie releases. I was just wondering if you were interested in A24's non-horror movies as well, and in particular, if you've seen Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Ooh.
We have, and we've seen a bunch of their non horror-related movies, and we like most of them, actually.
Yeah.
But when it comes to Everywhere All the Time, Everything All at Once, we just... we had a really strange experience with that movie because we had just gotten back from tour, I think, or the UK version of the tour.
Yeah, we were really jet-lagged.
We were super jet-lagged. We knew the US leg was coming, which was like twice the size, and there were talks about immediately going into production, so our brain was like fried. So we sat down and we're like, let's go to the movies, and I don't think we were prepared at all for what that movie had in store for us. Because she crazy.
Yeah,
like that movie
is
crazy.
I think it was because we were jet lagged. We hadn't slept. We went to watch it and I couldn't even think straight. And that movie is not the movie to watch when you can't think straight.
Yeah. So basically when it got to the hot dog fingers, we were like, we have to leave now. And we're going to have to do this movie another time. Yeah. And we haven't seen the end yet.
Yeah. But Minari is another A24 movie that was great.
It was good.
A bunch.
Well, as someone who just watched Everything Everywhere All at Once all the time in one sitting, I love that movie. I mean, truly, like, one of my, like, top five movies of all time. I think you guys should rewatch it. I think it's so brilliant. And you'd love it. I really think you would.
No, I think so, too. But, like, top five.
Yes.
Right next to...
right next to Martyrs.
Right next to Martyrs.
I was
going to
say, exactly. Does it knock Martyrs out of its spot?
Like, look, when we got to the Kung Fu giant butt plug scene, which I kind of remember because I was fried, like, they get points for that one.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just a brilliant movie. I mean, I'm gonna start crying here. It's like a wonderful... like.
Don't do that.
Oh, sorry. No tears for grandma. The movie is fantastic. Go watch it. It's got amazing action sequences. I mean, Michelle Yeoh really just reasserts why she is among the baddest of all time.
That's, oh, that yes. is true.
Yeah. Speaking of A24's other non-horror offerings, this one is, I guess, maybe a little bit of horror, but I love Ex Machina. That movie to me is a sci-fi thriller for the gods.
That's on my to watch on an airplane list, and I will get to it.
Yeah. Tammy from Whitehall, Maryland writes, the question, given your aversion to club kid shoes, and I am totally with you on this one, now that they are coming back in style, will they still be a death sentence in future seasons?
So I've said this before, and I just want to repeat myself to clarify. It's not that I hate all club kid shoes. It's this very particular kind that was abused, I will say. Right?
Jack. Allow me, please, because I actually did a little research here because I do want to put this to bed finally and fully forever. The type of club kid shoe is one that you could pretty much find anywhere. Like you could be anywhere in America and other places of the world and go to the mall and find what I believe is the Demonia 7-inch platform stack with the patchwork pattern.
The patchwork.
And you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Because
exactly
it
the
is the default go-to. This is the basic bitch one that you buy when you want a stack.
Yeah.
Now, other shoes are very cool. You can make a air quotes club kid boot look
for sure
cool, but not if you just went and said, hey, I'm going to be weird and dark and I'm going to go
That's
and wear these
is.
Shoes. And because it's lazy.
I mean, hi, we used to have tons of club kid shoes we would wear, that, but they were cool. They were like interesting club kid shoes. They weren't standard issue, like basic Betty, like here's your shoe, you know?
Yeah.
Which you can get anywhere.
There it is.
That's it. That's the secret of the club kid shoe, felony.
Every club kid shoe everywhere in every Hot Topic all at once.
Exactly.
All the time.
All
at the same
once.
Time.
Exactly.
Bam. That's all the time we have for now, children. If you're enjoying the Boulay Brothers Creatures of the Night, we want to remind you to please give us a rating wherever you listen and help spread the word about the podcast to everyone on social media like it's the plague. We'll see you back here soon on the next episode of the Boulay Brothers Creatures of the Night. Thanks for listening.